support Pastor Tim over there, and it makes it a great opportunity for us here today to have Pastor Tim to be able to share with us and for us to get to know him a little bit better and what his message is over there at the ministry. Cheryl and I got to be over there at the end of one of their sessions with the folks that are over there at the correction center. And it's a powerful thing. It is a powerful thing to see lives changed within the correctional center. And that is God's work. And we're thankful that Pastor Tim is there to be the vessel through which God is able to work. So thanks, Pastor Tim, for being here today.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, it's good to be back here at New Hope Evangelical Free again. I can't thank you guys enough for choosing to support the ministry, because there are powerful things that go on. There are people whose lives are completely changed. There are people who are getting out. You know, they're going to be our neighbors again, one way or another, at least most of them. So I would rather have former prisoners be our neighbors with Jesus Christ in their lives than without Jesus Christ in their lives. So, I mean, it is such a blessing to be there, and I thank God every day that I'm there. It's a wonderful experience. So how many of you were here when I came here in January, I think it was? Good number of you. So I'll just give you a quick background about myself. I came here from the Seattle area. I received a call through Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. That was my calling from the Lord. Now to faith, my family and I packed up. We packed up the U-Haul. We moved here. We had never been here before. We didn't know what to expect exactly, but we're glad we're here. We love being here. We love the community, and we love being part of prison ministry. But would it surprise you, though, to find out that I was not always a preacher? Right? I was not always someone who listened to the Lord. I was, especially, you know, I think back to a time when I was 16 years old or so. You know, I had this very, very strange habit of not listening to my parents. I mean, I know that may sound hard to believe, but it is definitely true. You know, I didn't really listen to many people, honestly, unless these people were telling me what it was that I wanted to hear. Then I suddenly found them very easy to listen to. If you go to the next slide, there's a king in the Bible who did the same thing. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, this is about King Rehoboam. And he was the king who presided over the split of Israel when it became the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, when it became Israel and Judah. So he also listened to people that told him what he wanted to hear, right? So that reads, "But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young man who had grown up with him, who stood before him." See, that's what a lot of us do when we're teenagers. Our parents tell us something, we don't like it, you know, and then our friends, who are also teenagers, they tell us something different, and that sounds a lot better, right? Because it's not what our parents want, it's what we want. And that's what King Rehoboam did right here. It was extremely unwise, and it caused the split of the nation. And what was it about? It was about a tax revolt. So you can see that too hasn't changed. People today don't like to pay taxes, people then didn't like to pay taxes, right? And teenagers, our young people, you then didn't listen to elders and parents. People today, when they're younger, don't listen to elders and parents. There is one thing especially, though, that I didn't listen about. There's a lot, but one thing especially. And because of that, I almost died. And I think the Lord used that experience for me to connect more easily with people in prison. Because when I share that, it opens up. It opens up the doors to them. They see me as someone they can talk to, as someone they can relate to. I'll have to give you just a little bit of context here with this story. So I was about 16. I was used to being around my older brother a lot. When we were little kids, we fought like cats and dogs. But at this time in our lives, we got along like best friends. And then he went off to the Navy. So I missed my brother. We grew up in a divorced home. Parents were split up, so we leaned on each other for support, and that's why we grew closer together. We were like best friends. And then in the Navy, he was gone for months at a time. He was on the aircraft carrier Nimitz, and they would go visit all the Asian countries. I think it was called a West Pack. I might have the terminology wrong. But so he was gone for 6 months at a time, and then he came back into town, and he decided to take little brother out on the town. He decided he was going to show me how Navy people celebrated when they got into port. And this is where not listening to parents came in, not listening to nearly all the authority figures that I ever had in my life from that time, because there was some underage drinking involved in this on my part. There was some underage drinking involved on my brother's part. Even though he was an adult, he was on his own, he was still not 21. It wasn't okay in the U.S. to do that. Maybe some of the other countries he was visiting, it was legal there. But this has been some time ago now. No, and I can't remember exactly to the extent of the amount of underage drinking that was going on with the two of us. But since I can't remember, that should kind of give you a clue as to how much it actually was, right? So it wasn't good. It was enough to cause a lot of problems. Every adult that I ever knew told me not to do this. They told me, you know, not to drink alcohol until I was old enough to handle it, until I was more mature, until I was mentally mature. But it didn't matter to me, because they were the people I didn't want to listen to. They were the watchmen over me, and I rejected the watchmen that were telling me, that were giving me the wisest advice. I listened to the people I wanted to listen to. I listened to the older brother who was trying to show me a good time. That made a lot more sense to me as a teenager. I mean, my parents told me not to do this. My teachers told me not to do this. My preachers told me not to do this. I mean, the list goes on and on. Some of them even told me that if I did do this, I could call them at any time in the night, any time in the morning, and let them know what was going on, and they would offer me a safe ride home. But I didn't listen to that either. Those who told me that they would do that for me, they even told me that they wouldn't say anything to me until the next morning. Then they'd try to reason with me. They would non-judgmentally do this for me. But I didn't take that warning either. I could have, at any time, taken the advice of the watchman. And I could have heeded their warnings. I could have saved myself a lot of pain. But I chose, at that time in my life, that I wanted to go the hard way. But God, you know, God will allow us to make bad choices, because God does allow free will, because God is a perfect gentleman. He will allow you to go down the wrong path long enough. If you're His, He will preserve you through these bad choices, but He will draw you closer to Him somehow. See, even if we lose our earthly lives through these bad choices that we make, He will still take us to heaven, because no sin, no bad choice can take us out of His hand once we're His. I get that from John chapter 10, verse 28. And I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That means the devil won't take you out of God's hand, and you won't take you out of God's hand. Once you're God's, you're God's. You know, God had a purpose for me. God knew that He had something for me planned. I didn't know God had something for me planned. I wasn't even thinking about God at this time. You know, I was thinking about listening to what young people told me, right? The young people give me bad advice. That's who I was listening to at this time. But that night, my older brother, he fell asleep at the wheel. I guess to put it nicely, right? He fell asleep at the wheel, and we hit a telephone pole going probably an estimated 40, 45 miles per hour. So just head on, smack. And that's based on the damage. By the damage to the truck we're in, law enforcement was predicting that's probably about a 40, 45 mile an hour hit, and that's pretty much a head-on collision. That's oftentimes fatal. But I didn't listen to any of the warnings, except for one. See, and this is how I believe God saved and preserved my life. See, after all, I wouldn't listen to the parents, the teachers, the preachers, anybody else, that aunts, uncles, I didn't listen to any of them. But finally, God sent one final watchman to me, His Holy Spirit. See, I heard someone loud and clear, not through the ears, But in my heart, I heard something. And I can only describe that as the Holy Spirit of God. But it said, put on your seatbelt. See, I'd never worn a seatbelt in my life. This was in the 80s. There wasn't a clicket or ticket going on. You know, this is when rock stars had hair like this. You know, it was back then. You know, they didn't, clicket or ticket wasn't a thing, right? It was, you know, I never wore it. Now that's the first thing I do every time I sit in a car. That's the very first thing I do. Because we see, without it, I would have gone through that windshield. I would have smashed my head on that telephone pole. But that seatbelt kept me in the car. And today I have a scar that goes from here, right about here. It's the seatbelt actually, it tore my stomach lining. I was injured really badly. I broke my nose on the dashboard somehow. You know, the impact was hard enough that I flew forward far enough to hit my face on the dashboard, and then the seatbelt yanked me back. I'll never forget that feeling of being out of breath. It was like being punched in the stomach by King Kong or something. If you've ever been hit by someone close to the right size, if your size relative, it hurts. But this, I was out of breath for a long time. It really hurt. But that's some of God's chastisement for those of His who are falling away, who are not listening anymore. But it could have been much worse without God's chastisement, because it through the experience, it brought me closer to Him. I looked to Proverbs 3:12. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. See, it's much worse if you are doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you don't hear God's voice telling you to stop it. That's bad. That's really bad. That could mean you don't belong to God in the first place. But if you're falling away, you belong to the Lord. You feel that thing in you telling you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you do, and then you get slapped for it. Something bad happens. That's God's chastisement. And it's good to get that, because you know that's God's correction. Because God will correct those He loves. See, I'm alive today because all of these warnings, even though I didn't listen to them, they helped me listen to the final one. If I had still refused, I may have given God no choice but to take me to heaven earlier. Or perhaps I would have gone through life extremely handicapped, something wrong. But, you know, you hit your head on a telephone pole going that fast, you don't come out of it nicely if you come out of it at all. But I praise God, though, that He gave me that one more chance to not put my mom through that nightmare of having the police knock on your door at 2 in the morning and say, I've got some really bad news. Your son's not going to make it through the night. I praise God even more that He allowed me to become a watchman, even though I didn't listen to watchmen at first, but He gave me one final one that I did listen to, and He allowed me to become one through accepting His message. That's where I got the sermon. The sermon title from, Listen to the Watchman, Become the Watchman. Let's look to our main passage today. It's found in Ezekiel 33, 1 through 9. Again now, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning, his blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, I will warn the wicked to turn from his way. And he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. This chapter of Ezekiel, it changes direction. It sets a new direction for the nation. In chapters 1 through 24, Ezekiel, he's pronouncing a judgment on the nation. Because the Israelites, they were following the gods of the people around them. That was a pattern with Israel. They would go bad. They would get judged. They would get good again. So this was a time when Ezekiel was judging them. He was warning them. He was being a watchman for them. They were ignoring the laws of the one true God. They were involved in worldly living. Chapters 25 through 32 are spent pronouncing judgment on the surrounding nations, who are at least to some extent responsible. And there's still personal responsibility for God's people following after these other nations in their ways, following their gods. But they were at least to some extent responsible for introducing that to them, for corrupting them. So there's some judgment there. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, though, here for the Jewish people, because the tone changes. There really isn't that change for most of these nations that Ezekiel's judging at this time. Because there isn't anything anymore coming from a nation of Ammon. It doesn't exist. There's nothing anymore coming from the nation of Moab. It no longer exists. Same with Philistia. Gone. God's judgment on them, it was final. Based on, they're gone. Egypt is the only exception. Egypt is still around, and I had a thought about that when I was reading this, when I was researching and looking into this message. See, I think that Egypt is a little bit special in this sense, because Egypt protected the line of Messiah. They're not a Christian nation, really. They have Christians there, but they protected the Messianic line at one time when Jacob and the 12 patriarchs of Israel lived there. So I think God might be giving them a little bit of a special blessing for that. And also, during the reign of Herod, when Herod was killing all the children trying to get Jesus, and that Mary, Joseph, and Jesus lived in Egypt. See, I think God might have been giving Egypt a little bit of a blessing for being faithful, for doing the right thing at that time. See, God will always bless those that are faithful to him. But we also have to understand that there is a warning for persistently falling away from God's truth, because that will ultimately result in chastisement from God. It could be a quick slap on the hand to get your attention. Sometimes it is what the chastisement is. It gets you thinking correctly right away. Other times it could be something more serious, like a bad car accident or a prison sentence. But even through those types of things, God will bring that person closer to him. Or he certainly can. There's always, though, a consequence for ignoring the watchman. But what I like best about this passage is that it describes part of our relationship that we have to God in accepting the message from the watchman and then becoming a child of his through accepting the message. And then we become a watchman to others. So if you are here today and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, at some time someone sent a watchman for you. See, they told you something along the lines of what Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. He writes, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." See, as God's appointed watchman to you, lovingly gave you that gospel message, now it is your responsibility to go out and share that same message. See, Paul had the ultimate watchman. Jesus Christ himself became Paul's watchman on his road to Damascus. And he gave people that same message. And many, many became Christians because of Paul. But suppose that one Suppose that one does not heed the watchman's warning. Let's review Ezekiel 33, 2 through 5, just that first portion. Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take the warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself, but he who takes the warning will save his life. So if you share Christ with someone over and over again, after being guided to do so by God's Spirit, you have done your part. Should that person ignore you repeatedly, when he or she dies without Christ, their blood is upon their own head. It's the same as when the watchman blows the trumpet and warns the nation of an invading army, and they just ignore the call or ignore the sound of the trumpet as if it's not important, as if it's just something meaningless. It's the same type of picture here. There's a blessing and a warning sort of tied together in this. And the blessing is that we have heeded the warning of the watchman ourselves, and now we are sent out there, but some people will still refuse. Some people will always refuse. And Jesus' appearing, his second coming, will be a blessing to those who have accepted the warning of the watchman, but to those who have ignored it and continue to ignore it and will always ignore it, it will actually be a curse. There's also a warning for those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior to be that watchman again. So if you have accepted the warning of whoever the Lord sent to you, now it's your turn to do that same thing for someone else. See, as a Christian, we're not supposed to just keep the Word of God to ourselves, just to keep it silent. Look at the Great Commission statement. My favorite Great Commission statement, it comes from Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, the Great Commission, it's not a suggestion. Now, it's actually a command. But, and listen now we're to the rest of the main passage from Ezekiel. See, I feel that it ties sort of a judgment to those of us who are Christians, who have accepted Christ as Savior, but keep it silent. I think the rest of that tells us what's going to happen, at least in part. It gives us a warning. Let's look at that final bit there. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. See, we have to be obedient to Christ and sharing his message. Now, I don't believe that what this is saying is that anyone's going to lose their salvation if they don't. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. My faith background just teaches otherwise, that once you're God's, and that's the way it's going to be. That's just the way it is. But however, there is a judgment against those of us who let people go on without hearing the Word of God. When we do this out of fear, when we're too afraid sometimes to tell people about Jesus for what other people are going to think, or if we're just being disobedient, sometimes we have been lazy. See, that there is a judgment though for believers like this. It's different from the judgment for the great white throne judgment. That's for the non-believers, but there's the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers. There's different Greek words that are both translated as judgment. But in one, you're talking about, when you're talking about the type used in the context of the great white throne judgment, you're talking about salvation versus non-salvation. That's not the issue with Christians, with people that belong to God. It's more of a judgment of bearing fruit. How well did you do? One guy explained it to me a little bit, and there's no human analogy that ever quite gets it, but it was interesting that he said it's a little bit like the Olympic athletes standing up here, first, second, third, gold, silver, bronze, something along those lines. That's more of the judgment that he's talking about. They're the same word, but they're again, or the same word in English, but very different though in its context. You know, and I understand that putting it like that softens the blow a little bit to the believers, right? That it's just a ranking more so. But imagine just for a moment the pain of knowing that had you acted, that person might not be separated from God. If you had just shared Christ with them, imagine what that would be like. Imagine like what that will be like, because we've all failed at some point in time or another, but that doesn't mean we have to continue to fail. We can go back, we can go find different people that we know we were supposed to say something to but didn't. We can go back and tell them. We can tell anybody else that God brings to us about Jesus Christ. So let's be obedient to Jesus Christ and be great watchmen. See, salvation is God's gift to us, and we are grateful eternally. I believe as a possessor of that gift, we have a great responsibility. We don't get to have this free gift without carrying the responsibility of sharing that free gift with others. We can't just go to church once a week and then sit on our couch the rest of the week watching sports or, you know, just mowing the lawn or doing whatever it is that we do. Whenever God puts it on our heart to tell somebody, when we're talking to somebody and you feel that tugging of the Holy Spirit saying, tell him about Jesus. Please tell that person about Jesus. We have that responsibility to tell everybody about the one who is our hope. We have a responsibility to tell everybody about the hope that diminishes all worldly fears into nothing. Because Jesus Christ is our freedom. Jesus is our salvation. And he has chosen you to share that salvation with others. And we're gonna bow for prayer. With your head bowed and eyes closed, I'm just curious, as I've been speaking here, if God has put someone on your heart. As you've been listening to me, if God put somebody on your heart, put a name in your mind, or put a someone's face in your mind, just raise your hand for me, just so I can see if there's someone out there. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. So whoever it is that comes to your mind, God wants you to be their watchman. Don't allow that person not to hear God's word. Tell them about Jesus and pray for that person and pray that they will accept your message. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we can't thank you enough, God, that you sent someone to us at some time in our lives when we were following the ways of the world. And we thank you so much that someone came up to us and said, regardless of what you're doing right now, Jesus loves you. God loves you. And Jesus came down from his rightful place in heaven. He was the only one to ever live a perfect life. And he was nailed to a cross to pay that price of your sin. He took your wrong choices upon himself so that you could be free. And all you have to do is get on your knees and tell Jesus that you accept his free gift, and you will be with him for eternity, just like that thief on the cross. We thank you so much for this, Jesus. We thank you for all you have done and all you continue to do. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.